We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Is your artist of the day.
I told you I was going to read this hilarious communication from the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. I think it first appeared on Facebook. I got it in an email, but it's legit. I just went on and looked and I retweeted it. This is from your Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. Because it has happened more times than you would think, if you encounter a device that you think might be an explosive or contain a biological weapon, please don't bring it to the police station. Mm-mm. Call 911. We will come to you as fast as we can. We'll bring bomb robots, the whole deal. If you bring it to the police station, we have to evacuate the police station. That includes offenders in detention, desk clerks, detectives, office staff, the whole nine yards. Also, transporting devices that could blow up or release biohazards can destabilize them and exposes many more people to harm. Mm. So, quiz time. What do you do if you come in contact with a device you think might explode or release a biological agent? A, call 911 immediately. B, drive to the police station.
They
wrote an answer. A. I don't think they're talking about the grenade at 7th and Grand, are they, Will Starrett?
I think they are.
Well, but it was found at 7th and Grand.
So?
Do you think someone walked it in?
I don't necessarily think someone walked it in. I think the incident at 7th and Grand served as enough of a reminder to...
Got it.
Hey, next time this sort of thing happens...
Let's have a chat.
Right. We make house calls.
I just think it's so funny. I mean, it's not funny they found what could be a grenade at 7th and Grand.
No, but the way they handled it is great.
It is great.
And I'll say this. I think the Kansas City Police Department, both in terms of Facebook, but especially Twitter, have really stepped the game up when it comes to that sort of thing. I got to say Lawrence PD.
Lawrence is the best.
Right. Lawrence is the best. And I honestly think KCPD.
KC Water is really good, too.
Now, that I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. KC Water's hilarious.
I think KCPD has definitely taken some cues from Lawrence, whether, you know, directly or indirectly. They've stepped their game up in light of Lawrence getting all that attention via the Lawrence PD account.
So, yes, and I know this was in one of the newscasts, but at 10:30, they secured the device at 7th and Grand, removed the device, and they did, in fact, say it was a modified hand grenade. Here's the tweet after.
What does that even mean?
Here's the tweet after that, Jim. This should go without saying, but please don't leave grenades, even inactive ones, just lying around.
Oh.
Yeah, secure your grenade.
What's a modified grenade? What does that even mean?
One that has had something of some sort done to it. Now, yes, it's a very vague term. I think that's by design.
Hmm. By the way, you know we talked yesterday about Seinfeld going over to Netflix?
Yeah.
Like $150 million or whatever the hell it was.
Mm-hmm.
Story here on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Streaming war spurs classic TV arms race. Listen to this. Entertainment heavyweights have spent more than $2 billion on classic television shows in recent weeks, while signing talent for new programming in an effort to win over streaming customers who soon will have many more options to choose from. This week, Warner Media struck a deal for The Big Bang Theory, while Netflix acquired Seinfeld, and Comcast said it would have exclusive streaming rights to Parks and Recreation. Huh. Two other shows, Friends and The Office, changed homes earlier this summer. The commitments total more than $2 billion.
Woo!
The spending frenzy comes as four high-profile services, Apple, Walt Disney, Comcast, and WarnerMedia, are to launch between November and the spring, drastically increasing the entertainment options of customers and likely leading them to grapple with how to spend their money and their time.
It really comes down to just more avenues available and therefore needing content to fill them. Now, in this particular case, we're talking about the heavy hitters, but this is something that's been going on, albeit in earnest, for the past several years. Once you started getting the digital sub-channels on television, you saw a lot of stuff that was on TV that hadn't been there in years.
Which ones do you have?
I got a whole bunch of them.
Well, which ones?
Antenna TV, MeTV, Bounce.
Bounce? I never heard of that.
That's the urban-oriented one. I watch it for the Bernie Mac show.
All right, but okay, yeah, you have a lot. But wait, hey,
right?
Because I want to get sure. to everybody here. How much do you spend on all of these streaming services?
Oh, the streaming services. Got it. I don't know because I don't handle the bills. But Netflix and Hulu are in my house.
Netflix and Hulu. Okay,
yeah.
Sam, what do you got?
I have Netflix, Hulu, HBO Go. I think those are the main three.
What would you guess your combined bill is for all three of those?
Well, Netflix is my mom's account. HBO Go is tied to the fact that we have AT&T.
I don't care. Tell me how much the money is.
Literally like $5 for my Spotify.
What do you have?
I have all of it, including cable, because we don't know how to unplug it, and Travis is going to help us do it.
I'm told the Netflix and Hulu for us is 25.
We have Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime, which is fantastic.
And then, of course, I got, like, streaming sports stuff, but that's, different.
Okay. All right.
Our bills are so high, we're cutting. We're cutting. There has never been a time where I'm panicked that I can't watch something. And I feel like if there was a rare case, where I had to watch, I don't even know what it would be, I would just go to a bar. You know what I mean? Because it would be once a year, if that.
Okay.
You're going to be the last guy that gets rid of cable, aren't you?
Do you have Scott acts like an old man on your bingo cards?
I do, yeah.
Okay, do you need it?
No, we already got that because you talked about going to bed at 8:30.
Old man.
So
I am 4/5 of the way across this center row right now,
though. Here's what I have. Cable.
Mm-hmm.
And you will pry that cable out of my cold,
I know it.
Dead grip.
I know it. They love you.
When we talk cable, is it like the expanded basic where you have like, 40 channels? Or?
No, I've got like 500.
Okay, so at least you spring for the super duper cable package and not.
I have HBO, I've got Showtime, I've got.
Right.
The reason I expanded was I wanted the Big Ten network so I could watch Nebraska football and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I've got like Fox Soccer Channel. I mean, I've got all this stupid stuff I never watch.
Some people are kind of addicted to the idea of flipping channels and not having to pick what they're watching. I know a few people like that. Are you in that boat?
I scroll. I'm a scroller.
No.
Like you don't want to stick on one show
No, what I do is I use Channel 5 on the CCI, Consolidated Communications. And what I'll do is it just gives me the first 100 channels, right? And it just keeps flipping. It's like TV Guide, you know? And I'll say, okay, we got Beverly Hills Cop 2 on 46, Rambo's on 50, and something else is on like 55. And I'll just memorize the numbers.
Oh, God.
This is how I do it.
How many times have I asked you in this very studio what channel is CNN? How many times?
Oh, thousands.
My mind does not work like that.
CNN in this studio is 44.
44, yeah.
I can't remember channels. Ever.
Well, I can, and I'm very good at memorizing numbers because I just create like a algorithm or what, I don't know what the word would be, in my brain, 46, 50, 55, and that's how I'll put it in my brain. And so I'll just watch the channels click, 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 or KU basketball's on 31, whatever, and I'll memorize the channels I want to watch, and I'll go to my favorite. And then when that goes to commercial, I'll go to my second favorite, and then I'll go back and check the favorite, and then I'll go to my third.
You're literally going
to
be the last person in the world that cuts that cord.
Oh.
They love you.
Oh, they do love me.
That's kind of what I was trying to describe as the flipping. You find three or four different shows that you want to watch, and you just flip back and forth.
I want to get rid of it. I just need someone to come in and physically do it for me, and Travis is going
to
do it.
Well, if you're one of those people who's looking to cut the cord but is kind of addicted to the channel flipping, Pluto is great for that because
I don't even know what that is.
It is a free streaming service that has all sorts of different channels on it, but you literally can jump from channel to channel to channel on that thing. Mm. And it's got all sorts of different stuff on there. News channels, sports, classic television. There's an all-British channel, game shows. I mean, there's...
No, I don't want to do that.
You name it, there's all sorts of stuff on there.
Speaking of game shows, and I think... I meant to ask you this off the air before the show. I can't remember if we talked about this on the air or off the air. About Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
How sad.
We mentioned it yesterday.
On the air?
Yeah, he lost a rapid amount of weight in 5 or 6 days.
12 pounds in 7 days. And, you know, I added, every day I like try to add somebody to my prayer list. And I added Alex Trebek to my prayer list last night.
Well, because I think everyone thought, oh my gosh, he beat it. Like he's back. He looks good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he has announced yesterday he's going back for chemo again.
Well, but they said it came back worse.
He said that his numbers were, quote, sky high, and they need to go back
that's
in.
That's so sad.
So,
he's one of the good guys, and you want him to win. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's a good, seems like a really good guy. And when we were talking about it, and I was thinking about it this morning because I saw him on GMA, and I couldn't remember if we had talked about that on the air or off the air. And I just got to thinking about him today after I saw him on GMA, and I was like, man, you know, that just...
Yeah.
You know, he got so close to winning, and now he has to start the game all over again. Yeah. You know, and by game, I don't...
Somebody's moved the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I didn't mean to use the term game. That's not fair. Will stare at Sam Stevie. Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Queen and David Bowie. Channel 9. I heard this on the news this morning here on KMBZ. An 18-year-old from Johnson County is suing a multi-billion dollar vaping manufacturer in federal court. The suit alleges that Isaac Gant got hooked on Juul vaping pens in high school and vaped up to 5 Juul pods per week. Quoting here from Gant's attorney, Jerry Schlichter, who is out of St. Louis, he bought into it, as did many, many, many other young people. Gant, the suit alleges, was influenced by social media marketing to a younger generation. He started vaping as a senior in high school. So obviously he's not 18 years old anymore because it says he vaped for 4 years.
Now he says the only thing he knew about the product as a teenager was he liked the taste of the fruit-flavored vapor. Remember I told you, Scott, one of the flavors was Fruit Loops. Mm-hmm. It tastes like Fruit Loops. I don't buy for 1 second. They were not side door marketing to teenagers. They weren't directly marketing to teenagers, but they were side door marketing to teens.
When you say, says Schlichter, when you say that this is something that is safer than smoking and you don't tell people that it contains nicotine, it is a prescription for disaster. Did anybody not know that vaping pens contained nicotine?
The advertisement, Scott, did not include, and this goes back to regulation, there is none. Juul advertisements did not include nicotine warnings until it was required to in 2018. So no. And I've made this argument with every other product in America, even this, you know, Diet Coke here that I shouldn't be drinking, but I am. You know what's in it. You might not be able to pronounce it, but it's regulated that they have to put on the product, this is what you are ingesting. With the vape stuff, that didn't happen for years. 2018?
576-7798. If Isaac Gant would like to call in, I'd love to talk to him. Did you not know that vaping and Juul contain nicotine?
I would not have known that.
Really?
No. When vaping first came out, I didn't know what it was.
Does Coca-Cola need to put on their can, if you drink too many of these, it'll make you really fat?
They are required to put the ingredients on that can.
That you don't know what they are.
We are required to put counts
I was
on
say,
hamburger menus.
It's been established for decades that calorie count is tied to weight, and the calories have been on a can of soda for ages.
Fair point. Fair point, Will Stewart.
Calories are also now on your menu when you order at every restaurant around town. It will tell you, if you are going to order this cheeseburger with fries, this is what you're getting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 576-7798.
Get home and want to know, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the song that you wrote over and over?
Jesus.
Everybody made my pretend.
Scott, someone wrote in. I didn't know that these devices contain nicotine until a year or two ago. I thought it was a healthier alternative to smoking. I feel like it was kind of marketed that way. Why would you automatically know something contained nicotine if it didn't say so?
If it was a product to help you stop smoking, which vaping always has been labeled as such, you would assume, would you not, or at least a reasonable person would deduce that it has to have nicotine in it. What it lacks, which makes it healthier, is the tar.
Then why, when you put on your nicotine patch, to which you are addicted...
Yes, I am.
Why, when you put that on, you take it out of the box. I see you do it in here every single day.
Yep.
Why do they have to label, hey, by the way, there's nicotine in this, and Juul doesn't? It's ridiculous that these are not mandated to be transparent with the ingredients in these things.
They are labeled to say they have nicotine in them.
Only since 2018.
You purchase it based on nicotine content. You can get 3% or 5%. And so you walk in and you get a pack and you say, hey, I want 5%. What do you think that 5% is for?
Sam, real quick, before we get to the callers, you have worked at a very well-known convenience store in America.
Yes.
And I imagine they sell Juul and the other products?
Yes, and have for about 3 years.
Okay. Do they just walk up and grab it off the shelf, or do they have to order it from behind the counter?
They have to ask me or tell me what they want, and I go and get it for them.
And do they say, do you say, well, do you want the 3% nicotine or the 5% nicotine?
Correct.
But you have to know. You'd have to be a moron not to know that vaping contains nicotine.
And I would also contend that everyone who has been paying attention to the vaping scene, whether it's someone who's just an observer, right up to a retailer, will be the first to tell you that regulation came late to this game. So with Dana saying, yeah, only since 2018, I think everyone would agree that regulation came well after these products were established.
Right. And you are giving a 16-year-old boy way too much credit if you think they automatically knew what was in what they were ingesting.
But he was 18. He was an adult.
Well, but I'm saying your average teenage user. Let's take the average 16-year-old when they start doing this stuff, or 14 or 15. They don't know what's in this stuff.
Okay.
Real quick, this is from Vox.com. These formulas are treated as trade secrets. The vaping companies aren't required to disclose what their formulas are or what their ingredients are, but we do know quite a bit from the food flavoring industry because the same ones were migrated over to the vaping industry. Those chemicals, and they go on to list them, some of them are problematic or potentially harmful.
Well, but let me just be very clear. I am opposed to the idea of limiting the flavors that they can sell. Any more than...
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
We don't know what's in the flavoring. We made M&M stop making the red ones. Do you remember that?
If you want the government to get involved and regulate to ensure that the flavoring is safe...
That's what I'm saying.
Then I'm fine with that. If your argument is, I want to eliminate the flavoring because it may appeal to children, I am opposed.
I say we eliminate the flavoring if they can prove a correlation between the flavoring agent and popcorn lung. And I don't think that line is
a
long one to draw, Scott.
Dana, I'm fine with that. And you'll never see me sucking down one of these douche flutes. I mean, it looks like your face is on fire.
Now, because of the way you hold it, isn't it technically like a douche clarinet?
From the same story.
Okay. Or a douche kazoo?
The fact that e-cigarettes have been allowed to be in this unregulated quasi-state for so long is really why we are here now. Because the FDA took forever to assert authority over e-cigs, then delayed the review of each of these products, is really at the heart of why we are now seeing a cluster of illnesses.
Let's go to Elizabeth in Olathe. Elizabeth, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, Scott and Dana. I am 22 years old. I just graduated from college 4 months ago now. And I, since I'm 22, I'm like the same age as this guy. And I was talking to Sam, and I have known since day one that I had nicotine, Juuls had nicotine in them.
Mm-hmm.
And any dummy can presume that anything that goes into your lungs that is not regular oxygen is probably not going to be very good for them. So, and I don't know, like, even if you want to make the argument, like what Dana has been saying about the marketing and how it's been, pointed towards teenagers, where were the parents at? Like, what were they doing? Now, granted, I'm 22 years old. I don't have kids. Like, I don't know what that's like.
But Elizabeth, real quick, Elizabeth. Real quick,
yes.
When this epidemic started, the parents didn't even know what these were. These started becoming popular because kids were smuggling them into schools. Teachers didn't know what they were. Do you know some of these are disguised as inhalers? Some of them are disguised as computer, what do you call the thing you stick in your computer?
Thumb drive.
USB. Yes, they're disguised as USB stuff. And to some expert's point about a week ago that called into the program, she was outstanding. She was with the FDA. She said, do you really think they were marketing these products to adults in a manner that would ensure they are hidden? If you are marketing something because it needs to be hidden, who do you think they're marketing that to? They knew exactly.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. I agree with
You're
that.
You're a 45-year-old and you need to hide
your vape. I'm a 45-year-old who wants to induce nicotine at work, and I don't want my boss to report me to the insurance company where they're going to raise my rates.
This was done specifically so kids could hide these in schools, and you know it. Now,
if there's some
side benefit of a 40-year-old dude going to the office and not wanting to get caught with his vape, so let's look like I'm having an asthma attack.
Dana, is vaping allowed in this building?
I don't know.
The answer is no.
I didn't know that. Okay.
They have sent out a email months, if not a year ago, saying that we are not allowed to vape inside this building. If you want to vape, you have to go outside onto the west side of the building with all the other smokers, and you have to vape out there. Well, if I want to vape in the bathroom and not bother to go outside, I'm just going to sit down and take a deuce, and I'm just and make my face look like it's on fire, and I go to the basement bathroom where nobody else ever goes. Don't ask me how I know that. If I want to go to the basement bathroom where nobody else ever goes and I want to vape while I'm taking a dump,
you can use your douche kazoo down there.
That's right. And nobody's the wiser.
Someone just wrote in, the problem is parents allowed their kids to have them. That is absolutely false. No parent woke up one day and said, oh my God, I so want you to get popcorn lung.
Oh my God.
There's this new thing and I can only get it in a gas station. I'm not sure what's in it, but here, suck on this kid.
I've not made it as a parent unless I get you addicted to nicotine.
I will say this though. There is
a special kind of ding-a-ling going on with the text line today.
You're giving a lot of parents a lot of credit. There are parents that are just that awful that if their kid says, Mom, Dad, I want to get, yeah, whatever, fine.
I will tell you this. And I don't know what it's like now, because I would not let my kids smoke, vape, drink in my house.
You wouldn't know it if they were. You wouldn't know it if they were vaping, Scott, because the damn things were disguised.
Well, and they don't smell, and there's no odor, although it looks like the house is on fire. However, I can remember as a kid, I can tell you at least three people that I was friends with whose parents let them smoke in the house at 16. Let them. And I can remember John Rout, who was a good friend of mine in high school, became a roommate of mine in college. He smoked, and he would smoke in my parents' house with my parents. Not weed, cigarettes. But John would sit there at the kitchen table smoking
what
with Winston.
Year?
Senior year in high school. He was 17. He would just sit there at the kitchen table smoking a Winston with Margaret.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Did you get one on that, Margaret?
I did. I'm still one away from bingo.
All right. Dakota in Olathe. Dakota, hello.
Hi. What's going on?
What's up, man?
So, I'm actually a vapor. I do not use Juul or anything that comes from a gas station, mainly because those are created by companies that aren't making them properly. Mainly what I mean by that is they're taking chemicals that go into basically the same chemicals that are going into cigarettes. They're using a nose. Unfortunately, that happens, and it is bad. What I do, I actually purchase my own stuff and make my own. And, you know, I can't sell it. Obviously, I don't have a license for that. But it's a lot easier on me, and I know what's going into my body. So the stuff that people are saying with, like, popcorn lungs, they're getting that from the cheapo knockoff stuff. Yeah, they're getting that from the cheapo knockoff additives, not from the stuff that's actually, like, I'm actually sitting outside of a vape shop right now. But the stuff that these vape shops are selling, they're not selling Juul. They're not selling the cheapo, like, Fuse or whatever it is. They're selling actual stuff that's meant to help you quit smoking. And I've actually quit smoking vaping, and I don't vape that much. I maybe take a couple puffs. Like 2 or 3 puffs a day. And that's
okay.
About it.
Does it look like your face is on fire?
Unfortunately, yes. But I mean, I don't use like the big mods that people use. I use like this little tiny thing. It's great, and I know what juice is going into it. So
okay,
that's another plus.
Why is there? I know it's not smoke, but I'll. Steam, whatever it is.
Vapor.
Why is there so much when you blow out?
It actually depends on the type of mod or what you're using. Like, there's two things in it. There's vegetable glycerin and propylene glycol.
Mm.
Depending on the variance of, like, the ratio, that's how much vapor you're going to get, depending on, like, man, it's hard to explain. The ratio of propylene glycol to vegetable glycerin.
Yeah, that's it.
Sounds like something I want to put in my body. 576-7798, Dana Wright, Scott Parks, Will Stair, Sam Stevie on KMBZ.
Well, I'm not uptight, not unattractive. Turn me on tonight. I'm really right. Really right. Will's not a fight, and I'm not your captive.
Little show trivia for you here. When this show first started on January 30th of 2012.
We didn't know what we were doing.
We still don't.
I was going to say, we've come a long way, baby.
The show was originally called Radioactive, and that was the theme song for 1 month. Until we decided that is a dumb name, and we changed it.
So dumb. The theme song and the name went away at the same time.
Yeah, yes. It was so bad.
And
my daughter just quietly went away.
My daughter Sarah still has a Radioactive with Dana and Parks T-shirt that she still wears to this day.
So bad.
Outstanding.
Melissa, and you cannot find them anywhere. Melissa in Kansas City. Hello, Melissa.
Hey, Scott. This is my whole opinion on it. I actually kind of disagree with the other 22-year-old who just called recently. When I was growing up in the area that I grew up, they were heavily marketed to teenagers. They didn't label them as nicotine, and even in some of the stores, they didn't have them by the nicotine products. You could just go and grab them off the shelf. You didn't have to show ID or anything.
But you didn't think that they were addictive or that they were an alternative to cigarettes?
No, a lot of my friends even thought that they were just flavored vapor stuff, and they are still addicted to them today.
Hmm.
A lot of my friends just can't afford insurances and stuff anymore. I personally didn't smoke them because, you know, I grew up in a household that knew better, but some of my friends
knew better than what?
Than to smoke stuff.
But if it wasn't labeled, how did you know better?
My parents.
Yeah. They said, let me tell you what you're not going to do, Melissa.
So it was common knowledge then that these things were not healthy for you. That they
maybe
did
to some of the older generations, but I would say for the younger generations who, when this stuff was newer and heavily marketed to the teenagers and stuff, I would say that it wasn't common knowledge that it had nicotine in it.
Yeah, and if you could just walk in and get it off the shelf, that to me would say it did not have nicotine in it, because if it had nicotine in it, it's behind the counter.
But why have I always been under the impression that vaping was an alternative, although it was...
Because people call in and say they do it instead of smoking traditional cigarettes because they do feel like it's the lesser of two evils.
That was one of the marketing tacks.
Sure, it was. Is that this is a safer alternative to smoking tar. I get that. But I've always been under the impression that this vaping stuff contained nicotine. Always. Hence, it's a safer form of smoking. If you didn't know that, then you're dumb.
I strongly disagree with anyone who would argue it is safer than smoking.
Well, we now know that it probably is not, and we're learning that quickly.
And I will remind you, in the 1950s, the ad said, Camels, preferred by 7 out of 10 physicians.
Well, it was.
You know, history is littered with poor marketing decisions that were just flat out bad for us.
Well, and I think, too, the other thing that we're kind of losing in this whole deal is, if you look at recorded history, have we ever had an instance where it has been beneficial to you to put something in your mouth, apply heat and or flame, and you get better from it? I don't think we've ever had that. Ever.
So the answer is no?
Yeah.
Why do you hate fire eaters?
I mean, whether it's tobacco or something else, throughout recorded history, there's a track record here. Putting things in your mouth, setting them on fire, or putting heat to it has not typically gone well.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.